Now broadcasting the webcomic beacon.
The webcomic beacon here at webcomicbeacon.com. I'm Fess of Fessworks.com. We'll go with that one out of the my 10 URLs. And this week we do not have one of our co-hosts. Guess which one? Yes, Tanya's out because she has a sore throat, so she can't speak. But we do have Mark Savory of AutumnLake.com.
Well, hello there.
And, welcome to the show, Mark.
Well, hi.
All righty.
And stuff.
I don't know.
Hello.
I'm a little...
We got other people with us, too.
We do. Boy. I'm just a little off today. Let's see here. Oh, yes, and we are hosted on the Rampage Network at rampagenetwork.com. Unless I already said that. But let's see here. We got a couple of guests on the show. This week we're going to be talking about building your universe, particularly for your comic, since that's what we talk about on this show. In case you're new, this is episode 135. With us we have Michael Delheim. Or also known as Onyx Sparrow at onyxsparrow.com and of an assortment of things. Welcome to the show.
Hello. Thank you very much.
And we also have Adam Smithy. Smithy? Is that right? Of theappleofdiscord.com. Welcome to the show.
Good morning. How you guys doing?
All right.
Ready to do this? Yes.
Ready to do this?
Yeah.
To clarify, it is you have to put the in front of appleofdiscord.com to get to the correct URL, or you will go somewhere else.
Yay. Yeah, yeah, there's a garage band in Philly that hasn't done anything in a couple of years that's squatting on Apple of Discord. I'm in line, though. It's going to be mine eventually. I'm watching.
I'm sitting and waiting for JennyEverywhere.com just in case it ever comes up, you know.
Doesn't somebody own that, though?
If somebody has the URL, but they haven't put anything on the site, and I kind of want to put up the, you know, like make a historical place for it so that it's still there. But I'm not gonna switch over to that. I don't think so.
Apparently, they're just betting on you one day actually making a success of it or something. So
I'm gonna make a success of an open source character that I can't claim any rights to. Yeah, that's okay.
I never said they were intelligent. I just said that.
No, it's the original guy who owns it. Like the guy who the initial creator amongst the forum of creators that went along with her. But we just gotta. Okay. All right. So
maybe he'll sell it to you.
I don't know. Whatever. You know, it's not a. It's not.
You
a
never deal. Know. He could give it to you out of the goodness of his heart.
I already have it on back order. It's just automatically renewing every 2 years. I was like, well. I just wish he'd put something up on that. But
anyway. You know, I'm mean. If somebody on a forum will really irritate me, I might go in and buy their .com if they've got like a .com. Haven't registered yet. I'm willing to slap $11 or $12 down for a year's worth of vengeance.
So was that you?
You can't have your own .com.
So was that you? That's
a good exchange rate. Yeah, I like that.
Was it? Was it you that bought psicomic.com like 8 hours after I mentioned it in a chat box?
No, I can't quite claim that one.
Yeah, I mean, I'm serious. Like, the next day after I mentioned it in the chat box, maybe I should buy psicomic.com. It was available, I was thinking about it, and the next day it was gone. So I just went, I just went webcomic, and it's like, aha!
See, that's why I never mention important things until it's too late for anyone to stop me.
Alrighty.
But I never do anything important, so.
Oh no!
I'm getting a little bit of a blowout on this, on the recording.
Oh no!
So, let me see if it's. I think it's me. I don't know. Anyway, so
I just reinstalled Skype, so I'm not sure what I'm screwing up or not at this point. So,
oh, I'm sure it's your fault then. But okay. This week we're talking about building the comic universe. Well, the universe to your comic, the world of which your characters, if you have characters, I suppose, reside in. What are the rules? Is it basically a mirror of right now, real life, offline, as is, no deviations? For journal comics, quite possibly that's the case, but there's other things to look at depending on what you're going for, and that's why we have these two. I think they're claiming to be experts. I'm not entirely sure. It was all coming out of this Twitter argument last year, month, I think, or a couple of weeks ago at the most. Actually, I find us three getting into debates every now and again on Twitter. Or discussions, we should say. But I heard you guys were planning or scheming the other night about what should we talk about and making fancy things like outlines and, you know, preparing. It's like, what? You know, you don't do that for this show.
Well, you know, Adam's more organized. He gets the bullet points and he gets the talking points down.
Yeah.
And then I take whatever bullet points he has and just go off on it. So,
well, sounds
he's
good.
He's the organized, I'm the impromptu. It just kind of balances out like that.
All right, Laurel.
Yeah, and when I'm the organized example, you know that we're in trouble. So
yes. As I said, Discord and chaos. It works out very well.
Okay, well, the only thing left to do is start. Since you're prepared, go!
Building your webcomic world.
Or maybe he's not repaired. Prepared, whatever.
You are not
well,
prepared.
Okay.
Were you just bullshitting that you had an outline?
Or? Where should we start?
There's just so much dead air here, I have to fill it now.
Actually, the real plan was to screw you up fest. That was the underlying plan of this plan.
Uh-huh, so. Like I need help.
Yeah, fest. You're being punked.
Oh no!
Now, how about we both start by talking about our individual comic universes, so that people get a feel of depth for the sort of world building that we're working on here, and then we can build there from tips, techniques, stuff like that.
Well, already,
because like Mike, your idea for a world is fascinating. It makes a lot of sense, and I'm surprised I haven't seen more people try something very similar to what you're doing before.
Ooh, fascinating. I've never heard that mentioned before. That the basis of my entire comic is based off of a role-playing campaign, and so I actually developed my world as if I was running a role-playing campaign. I create a basic story plot. I know what's happening. I know what the bad guys are doing. I know the general direction of where it's supposed to be going. But as I create my comic, I develop the world on the fly. And that allows me to play with things and switch around a lot of details. Because, like if you're running an actual role-playing campaign, you have to adjust the story plot to go along with how good your players are, their reactions, how they deal with situations as you go. And so, like a game master in real life, as I've done before, I have to control what people know, what people don't know, and then sometimes change what's going to happen further along in the story plot, depending on what the characters do. And so I have to keep myself very flexible in my game world, but I also have to then control all the details within that world and make sure they're balanced and everything makes sense. Otherwise, it would fall apart on you. So yeah, game world creation is extremely important in the way that I build my webcomic.
I've got a question for you.
Sure.
Now, I have to be honest, I don't particularly read your comic.
Yes, I hear that a lot.
But
there's a lot.
Are the characters themselves, or like, do they know that it's a game, or this is just how the world is, and this is what you do?
The characters actually do know that they're in a role-playing campaign.
Okay,
They do know that they were playing a role-playing campaign and they got sucked into it. However, they do not know that they are in a webcomic. So it's kind of a weird meta awareness. They know their world, the world that they're in isn't real, but they don't know that it's a webcomic.
Okay. All right. There is the only one I could think of offhand that's kind of similar. I'm trying to find other comics that are like this. Yet Another Fantasy Gamer comic kind of started out with some of the characters acknowledging a couple of bits of role-playing, and then I think he just outright just stopped bringing it up. Not really role-playing, but like some of like the mechanics, like Lawful Evil was like some of the first stuff that was brought up, you know, basically defining each other. And then I think they just threw it out the window. Goblins is another one where... Well, it's the game aspect, the D&D aspects is a lot more obvious. I mean, people will have like negative numbers above their heads for like if they're dying, and they'd actually talk about XP and such. And there used to be a little bit more talking to the great DM in the beginning of the comic, but I haven't seen anything like that for a while. So there's some acknowledges. I'm sure there's other comics out there that kind of use that aspect as well.
Yeah, it's a similar concept, except the differences, and I've seen a lot of comics, is that while they have role-playing aware characters, that they work with the rules and they know they have HP and they do their checks and such, my characters are players from the outside that got into the game. So they don't even think they're characters within that world. They are completely separate from that existence. Okay. You can tell the difference between characters. Like, my three main players act differently and regard the world differently than, say, the NPCs in that world that truly do believe that they are part of that world and the rules exist and it makes sense simply because that's what the campaign was created to be like.
Right.
Things that were created by Mike, the game master, as jokes, just because he's running a role-playing campaign, he likes making funny things once in a while. These guys take as absolute gospel truth of this is how the world works. And so to see that contrast is really what I was going for, the difference between perspectives. And I think that makes it a little more unique.
Okay. Adam?
Well, my comics continuity is kind of a huge jumbled mess, which I've been fighting for about 6 months now to sort of try and straighten out. When I started the Apple of Discord in 2008, it was just supposed to be a random one-off joke-a-day kind of funny comic with no real internal continuity. But I started just as a joke, including a couple of characters from a comic that I did like for 2 or 3 years starting back in, I think it was 2002, called Cinematic for the People, which was a spinoff of an even earlier comic that I had done. And these are both sprite comics, by the way, so you don't have to look them up. They're Cinematic for the People was pretty funny, but the original comic, which was called Jim the Viking, is really not. It's much better than most sprite comics because it was like original characters, original designs. It was not a, you know, ripped from the Mega Man sprite sheet sort of thing. I actually put time and effort into it to make it my own unique world, and it still turned into a sprite comic. I mean, it still gets treated as badly as any other sprite comic, despite no matter how much effort you put into it.
Well, we have yet to do an episode on Sprite Comics, so I might recall you for your expertise.
Well, and it's going to be even more pertinent, and I'll come to that in just a second here.
Right.
But so I started throwing characters from the Sprite comic, only hand-drawn versions of them, into the new comic. Art and Leaf, the de facto main characters, were the main characters from Cinematic for the People. And they actually got to Cinematic for the People. Leaf was a throwaway character where there was a magical portal in the main character's basement, and every time he threw something into it, it vanished, and he'd been using it his garbage disposal. But what he didn't realize is that in a magical fantasy kingdom in another dimension, the objects rematerialized about a mile up in the sky and maybe 50 times as large as they were in his reality. And Leaf was this, like, rebel upstart elf that kept, you know, like, challenging the fact that the gods didn't really exist. And every time she'd say something, he'd toss, like, a rock into the portal, and it would appear and land on her. And after torturing this poor character just in these random one-off joke comics for, you know, like, months, for April Fool's Day, I totally shut down the original comic and rebooted it as a comic that was all about her. And that only lasted for, like, 2 days, and then I switched everything back to normal, but the rebooting it with it all being about her sort of carried on and became cinematic for the people. So we had Art, who was technically an avatar for the author. His name is short for El Artisto in the original version, and Leaf, and without anything left to do because their parody comic had kind of run aground, they started making fun of movies, which became cinematic for the people, which then really became the Apple of Discord. So just for the few people who did know about the original comic, I started randomly throwing in cinematic for the people characters, and these characters started just sort of like linking to other characters, and I wound up with these complex interweaving stories that I did not particularly intend to have. Like, how do you explain the fact that there's an elf walking around in regular everyday world that looks completely normal? Well, that evolved into, there was this sort of conspiracy that was talked about for a while where there's something fundamentally wrong with the world. And then back in November, I started seriously doing, I put aside the random joke a day comics, and I started seriously doing just the story comics for a while under the subheader of Apple Valley, which is the town that the main characters live in. And Apple Valley has grown to the point where it has now been spun off into its own website, which is living on Drunk Duck until I can set. I'm actually enjoying Drunk Duck. I'm doing fairly well over there, but at some point in time, it's probably going to get its own full-fledged website as well. But as I unveiled bit by bit, both to the audience and in a way to myself, I built this complex narrative, which actually explains in a very backwards retcon sort of way all of the weird stuff that goes on in the Apple of Discord, the webcomic. Like, the Gayzilla subcomic is part of this, and what it is way back thousands of years ago.
Thousands of years ago.
Sorry.
Yeah.
Gay dinosaurs walked the earth.
Amongst other things, yes. Yes, they did.
Sorry. Continue.
There was one large earth that had not only humans, but a lot of the creatures that we consider mythical, like the elves and goblins and fairies and a bunch of different races, as well as there being furries and sprites, though they were more in the fairy field back then. But there was a prophecy, a very real prophecy, that humans were eventually going to destroy everything. So it was agreed upon by all the different races that they were going to try and basically vote humans off the island. Not by killing them, but by casting a spell that would split off a parallel Earth that only had human beings on it. But instead of splitting the Earth into two, it wound up splitting the Earth into seven. Due to some tampering, which the full effect of which will be revealed in the duration of the comic. And the humans got a world, which is what we know as the real world. all the elves, the goblins and stuff were put on a fantasy universe. A bunch of humans that did not want to be humans anymore used ancient magic to become like primal state. Basically, they turned themselves into furries, so they no longer counted as humans. So they could go to their own special world. And eventually it divvies up that these seven worlds represent like seven main genres of webcomics. You've got the human world, the furry world, you've got the fantasy world. You have the, there is an actual sprite world, which is sort of like one of those magical twisty fantasy realms, except it reflects the common like will of the people. And for some reason, like in the 80s, it got tuned into 8-bit and has been stuck that way ever since. You've got the super hyper technological world, which is ruled by a hyper intelligent hive mind of blue plankton. You have like the gothic noir, desolate post-apocalyptic world, and then you have the anything can go, usually a little more mature than everything else, sort of adult-esque themed world. And it just worked out that I could split this universe up into these like seven different genres, and at the same time come up with the reason why everything went so horribly wrong, because now instead of two worlds occupying the space of one, you've got seven, which means the outside edges of my comic are constantly scraping against other people's webcomics.
Okay. I got a question for you.
Hit me.
Did you feel utterly compelled to try and explain your comic versus just be happy with what you had? I'm hearing a lot of similarities, not all, but a lot of similarities between how you did your comic, and even some of your plots here are kind of paralleling some of my yet to be released stuff. But no, to be honest, I'll go into mine later. But did you feel compelled that you had to somehow? I had to come up with a reason for everything versus just go on. I mean, did you want to avoid maybe redoing or rebooting the whole comic just to have a connectivity? Okay, looks like we lost a connectivity on my end.
Yes, we did.
And I apologize about that. I can't get a hold of Adam. Adam should be coming back up. Oh wait, there he is.
Okay.
So I apologize for that, but you basically got the gist of my question, right?
Yeah. As you were saying, it sounds like we're doing a lot of the same things, and then you hung up on me.
He ran off in a tiff.
I ran off in a JPEG. What are you talking about?
You're stealing my crap. Click.
Stop stealing my crap. You did take my URL, didn't you? You bastard.
Well, I tried.
No, he's just. I need to consume more webcomics.
I tried not to have any canon for like the first year of the comic, and that just was not working. It's not. I mean, my brain thinks in stories. It's, and I wound up with so much of it living inside my head, with no real vent for it, because I mean it was. I could randomly follow people around saying, okay, so here's the reason why this guy is doing it. And they'd be like, why are you talking to me? Go away. You're, this is a bus station. Leave me alone. it wound up becoming a lot more complicated than it probably, in all honesty, really needed to be.
Okay.
But at the same time, the more story I put into it, the more stories kept coming back out of it.
Right.
Yes. And that's, I mean, you know, it's, I've got enough ideas for plots that I could go the next like 2 or 3 years without ever even thinking about writer's block, just from the giant mountain of notes that I've taken on ideas that I've had.
Okay. Yeah, it's just sort of just cascade. What is this called? The ballooning effect? Domino effect?
You know, I've heard it called a bunch of things. Some of them were less kind than those.
Okay. But,
yeah.
Yeah, I have a similar kind of build that keeps on going on with my work as well. It's, you start with a simple basic idea, and then it just keeps snowballing into
snowballing.
More complex, and you keep on asking, but why is this happening? So you have to answer that question, then that leads to more questions, and eventually you end up with like this giant, fully functioning universe that has everything established, and it just kind of happens on its own at times. If you're a person that creates like that, then...
Right.
I have a role-playing campaign, mm-hmm. actually, that I started on the old MIRC chat room system, and... It started out fairly basic, and it was actually somebody else's role-playing room that they started first, and somehow I ended up taking over it, because they ran out of ideas and I didn't. And about 6.5 years later, I have a fully functioning universe with multi-generations of characters going back towards the dawn of time of how this universe came to be and how it works. I mean, that's the complexity I go with.
This wasn't Fess's role-playing game you stole by any chance, was it?
No,
but I do go pre almost pre-Earth history.
No, but this universe is the place where we created the Onyx Sparrow persona to begin with, and the origin of the Kitten of Chaos. So it did give me a lot of stuff to work with.
We have the Ustream is down here.
Yeah, the Ustream is down. Oh, wait, maybe it'll work.
Yes, you're not exactly in the room. You're not there.
Okay, yeah. Well, hopefully it will start once again. Since the disconnection, I usually run into troubles with that. But if they can't hear us, sorry. But, okay, well, we're going to have to take a quick break. When we come back, we'll go into Mark and Mine's comic, I guess, since we probably should. We'll be right back.
After these messages, we'll be right back.
We'll be right back. got no equipment and he's got no car, but he's pretty cool, so don't you dare call him poor, don't you dare call him poor, cause he is the star of his own movie. In a parallel universe, in a parallel universe, and it was groovy. I came first in a parallel universe. I was the star of my own movie. I was the star.
That was Parallel Universe by Dragon Susie at musicalley.com by Mevio.
No oh, means okay. No, you stream.
All right, and we're back. And I'll just go real quick on mine, since I've talked about my comic a lot on the show. And people pretty much got the gist by now. But my comic did start off as, the first webcomic that you make, and I'm breaking all the rules and that you're not supposed to do this and that. And it was just supposed to be like a sort of like gag-a-day thing that made jokes at the expenses of other comics. There's going to be cameos and hopefully crossovers. And that eventually all did happen. The only other thing I didn't expect to happen was that I actually developed a story. So it was completely by accident because I couldn't tell jokes in a single day. I always had to get, they always got stretched out and, so basically, the story of PSI came out because I needed a vehicle to tell the jokes, and eventually that I kept adding and adding and adding and developing the type of world. Eventually, kind of not entirely explaining the whole humans and furries existing together, other than it's coevolution. Not just apes turned into humanoids; all animals did. And then I started going on, that's just to shut people up because everyone wanted a reason why they were together. It was like, why can't they just be, damn it? So it came out of necessity of me having to explain stuff. And for me, because I wanted something there, I had to explain why that was there. And I have a whole backstory of Nemi. Nemi is basically a third character I wanted to have in the comic for a long time, and it took me too long to get her in because I wanted three characters in the comic. And basically, her character and her backstory is the drive for the explanation of the entire comic and world and the planet that they're on. I can't even rightfully call it Earth, except that it has some parallels until maybe about the Crusades. Only instead of religion, because in my comic there is a goddess, and there's evidence, there's proof, you can't deny that she's there, so religion, I wanted to take religion out of the whole thing. There's no religion, there just is, and so I'm having fun with my magical world and everything, but instead of that, okay, well, what other reason for conflict is there in history up to this point? I couldn't think of anything. So it's essentially religion, and through that power was a sense of a lot of like major wars throughout history, Roman times, Crusades, that crap. And so I used magic as a sort of a reason why people are fighting. Ben in chat also says resources were another thing as well. But of course, how do you get resources? You try to make your people hate another people, and you take over their stuff and you suppress them. Well, we're not going to get into all that sort of stuff either. But yes, Ben, that has happened. It happens today now too. Anyway, we're not getting into that. So I used magical forces this, and basically, because I don't know if I'll ever get this in the comic form, essentially the goddess gets pissed off and starts eliminating humankind. Well, not humankind, but, people. because she's pissed off at him. You know, this is the wrath of God type of stuff, you know? So, which is why the world population in PSI right now is maybe 2 billion instead of, what is it, 6 billion? So, but... Well,
I would think that it would be down anyway because of the balance from... If you have that many other kinds of humanoids on the planet, mm-hmm. then, I mean, you've got to have room for them all, don't you?
Well, that's... You gotta weed them out.
Well, it's, you know, instead of regular animals, there's large insects. So it's a little slightly prehistoric. Not really, you know. Just things... Because I want it that way, and I have to explain it now, damn it. Yes.
Can we get into the ideas of that co-evolution not being able to maintain itself through niche selection and
see,
such?
That's the thing. It was basically, you know, this is the whole snowballing. Oh, I got to explain this now. I got to explain that now. I got to explain this now. And it's basically, you know, things worked a lot better in niches and tribes and such. You know, you don't take the current world as you know it now and think, well, there's that many animals, there's this many humans. It's like, whoa! No, it's a lot more smaller than that because of every, you know, a lot of things start aging at a slower pace. You know, rabbits are going to breed and grow, and rats are going to breed and grow faster than the typical human does. And so it's not all, it's all fairly balancing out, and I don't need to go into all of that.
I would go in the idea of just, one, any other religion on the planet, you go, there's a goddess involved. End of story. You don't have to explain it.
Well, no, but I'm trying to explain why things are at their... Because the goddess is still fairly important to events that are kind of happening right now and are going to happen related to the armor that... You know, I have a MacGuffin in the comic, and it's the armor that Nemi is supposed to have been protecting from the past and is right now finding all the pieces to. So... My storytelling was kind of like day-to-day, what could be funny in this situation is very character-driven, and things, he would say this to this person, so I'd expand it. And eventually, these sort of little plots came up, and I had to back-develop the whole story. And so, this is not how you do a webcomic. Things have been a lot better. I will end this by saying things have been a lot better once I started actually making scripts way ahead of time. And so, that's all I got to say.
All three of our comics at least had some root in the real world and then diverged off of that, or Mike's is based off of a game, but it's set in the real world. Let's hear from Mark. Yours is a complete and total fantasy setting. I mean, it's like nothing we've ever seen before in reality. How did you come up with these fantastic realms that your characters inhabit?
Mark.
Well, I'd say, compared to the three of you, you guys are all weird.
I don't know.
Well, mine is actually really not that far off from the real world, kind of, sort of, except, you know, if somebody gets in a fight, they're not really going to be hurt. It's kind of cartoon fight.
Right.
You know, that kind of thing. Characters won't actually die or anything like that.
Even with circular saws involved, nobody gets hurt.
Actually,
even so,
the closest that your characters have ever been getting close to being getting killed are from the inventions, say going to the moon or robot.
But it is sort of a strange world, I guess. One thing I don't really mess around with much is continuity, as far as the stories go. For example, they went to the moon, but they never talk about it again. Because they had that adventure, so, you know, you just move on. Everything's a new adventure. But there is continuity between the characters. Mark and Sherm battling, and Dennis inventing things, and the things they talk about,
right,
and stuff like that. There's, you know, Mark can't get a date, and stuff like that. There's continuity that way.
I never thought of it that way. That's an interesting way to look at it.
But there's...
Hey, I just wanted to point out something from the chat. Tree Lobsters just said a really important thing that I think we've all been kind of hedging around the concept of, which is that in a universe, whether it is like a real, you know, almost like reality or a complete fantasy, in order for a world to be good, it needs to have an internal logic of its own. It needs to have a set of rules that are consistent across the board. You know, magic is this, magic does this, science is this, ghosts are real, time travel doesn't work, whatever it is that you've got. That's one of the big fundamental, like, tent posts of world building right there.
Yeah, indeed. It's the same thing. If you go and you create Wonderland and madness is the rule, within itself it makes sense. You always, no matter what you decide, this is how my world works, you must stick to those rules. That's how it will always work.
Unless you do something different, you have to explain why something's different and changing.
Unless you're fast.
Zoe Robinson of All Over the House, All Around the House, I forget.
And Noobty Mouse.
Yeah.
She's got a bunch of them.
She's asked if any of us have developed a series Bible, basically writing out all this information you just said, and so you have like a, oh, yes, I shouldn't do that because right there it's spelled out for me.
I kind of keep it in my head. Mine's simple enough. I just...
Yeah.
It has to be simple to keep it in my head.
So Autumn Lake doesn't have necessarily continuity between stories and events.
Not between adventures, no.
But it does have
continuity as far as the characters and what they do or don't do.
Yeah. I've noticed, there's no crossover between arcs. There's no need to have a passage of time either. You could actually take any of the, adventures and put them in any order and they would still make sense. They don't affect each other because you always loop back to square one at the end.
As for the universe they inhabit, it does have some rules. For example, you never actually see them using cell phones or iPods or any crap like that.
Mark has a CRT monitor. He has an old computer.
They usually have CRTs or, they use an old dial phone rather than a push-button phone. But it's not set in the 50s or anything. But
you're more like the 80s then.
The early 90s maybe.
It's kind of 80s in a lot of ways. They have Walkmans, they can... play a cassette tape or something. But at the same time, they do work with computers and they do have things like that, but they don't look like a computer you'd use now. If Dennis invents something, it's usually like a big bulky thing that looks like it came out of the 50s or 60s. They use walkie-talkies instead of cell phones.
More steampunk. Just enough to...
A smidgen. Probably 80s.
It's not steampunk. There's not a bunch of gears randomly added to stuff.
More like punk, I guess. Yeah.
It's not really steampunk. It's more steam, juvenile delinquent. It's not really quite
steam
to that
punk,
level.
Maybe.
It wouldn't be steam. It wouldn't be that punk. It wouldn't be steam anything. It'd be something else punk.
It would be wood punk. It wouldn't even be steam. It would just be wood burning.
Technicolor Dayglow punk.
Day.
Yes.
Okay. Anyway.
Something like that.
But
I did not have a universe Bible at first, but when I split Apple Valley out into its own, I did develop one just to keep from having to do a reboot, basically. Because usually when you get too screwed up in continuity, there's one of two things that you do. A lot of people will go for the just plain old reboot, hit the reset switch, take it over from the beginning. The other thing that you can do is retcon, try to absorb it all in and keep going in one relatively straightforward line. Don't pay any attention to that. That happened, but we're not talking about it.
I've actually gone back and changed a couple of things.
Lucas did, man.
No. The main thing that I changed was I did attempt, because I made basically Fess and Ernst, and the URL was fessandernst.com. Until I realized that I didn't want me in the comic, and that was a bad decision, which is why I had to come up with Fessworks, the furry version of me, to be the so-called author in the comic, because I needed that step removed. And then the crossover wars came around and screwed all that up, so there's still me. So there's the fifth wall to worry about now, but aside from that, I tried to rename in-game, in the story, Fest to David. That didn't work. I was going, Fest is his nickname, yeah! It didn't catch on, so I went back and erased him saying that his name was David. It was like one or two strips that I had to basically rewrite a line. But that's pretty much it.
My universe is much more organic.
Yeah.
It's like a real world, and it's just a setting, you know, for the characters to play off each other. There's nothing really fantastic about it, I guess, except like I say, with the technology they use seems old-timey. And some of the language they use is old-timey. And nobody seems to drive a car. I really ought to do something about that.
Some of them jog, though.
Some of them jog. Hmm. But they just seem to walk everywhere. I need to do something about that.
Yeah, my world is extremely organic in that direction as well. It just kind of, it flows on its own pace. It really runs like a role-playing campaign that it does its thing, and everything reacts to, okay, what's this character going to do now? And depending on what they do, then the world changes around them, like, you know, on the fly. It's not set in stone of the direction I'm going in at any point. But as we were going through before, I don't have a Bible or anything in that direction either.
But that's really clever, because you have infinite diversity there. Anything you want to do, you can do.
So I set it up as if I am the game master of my comic. I will actually take what my readers are talking about in the chat box and stuff, and they're like, ah, that's lame, this is going to happen, I already know what's going to happen. I go, oh yeah, and I change it. Because that's what a game master does. You mix it up to match the level of your players. You have to be able to change it up to keep it interesting.
So it's kind of like MS Paint Adventures, except you're doing it out of spite.
I'm not doing it out of spite. I'm doing it out of game master's prerogative. There is a difference.
I do get that. I do have something to add to that, though. Mm-hmm. I've brought this up on the show before, but in my comic, see, I'll have a like, especially when I script ahead, or sometimes even when I don't script ahead, because for a long time I was basically not fully writing something until I was sitting down and I had everything drawn, and I had to figure out, okay, what exactly are they saying? I know pretty much what's happening, but there's been times which I have something written out and I'm getting, and it's all planned, and then I'm actually drawing the comic, then I get this other idea, my muse is kicking me in the head, no, do this. This is what would happen, and that's happened a lot, especially with Nemi, whose soul was fused with another person, essentially. So, which would explain why she can shift between a rabbit form and a human form, because this other soul was a rabbit. This rabbit is named Bodil. She was never ever supposed to exist as a separate character, but my muse said, "No, this is totally what would happen." And I had to go with it because it was so good. And I almost had to, I had a fight with it because I almost had to kill off Emmy, and I didn't want to do that. But I was playing with that. So there's a lot of, like, on the fly, you know, you can have scripts, but sometimes things just get in your head that's going to screw it up.
You have to be able to adapt.
Well, like, right now in Apple Valley, it was started out as a one-off joke that was going to be a, meanwhile, you know, because the current story arc, because it was part of the Apple of Discord from like January until I think August, at which.
Hello?
Hello. Hello. Oh, I think we lost him.
I think we lost him.
We lost Nat.
Well, okay. Well, maybe he'll come back. Just to explain, somebody is asking about the fourth wall in the chat, so I'll explain it real quick. Fourth wall is basically, you know, there's four walls in a room. When you're looking at a comic through a panel, you only see three of the walls because you're seeing through the fourth wall to the characters. And typically when the character turns to said wall where you're reading and starts talking to you, or in general where they start realizing, they have like awareness that of their media, like novel awareness or webcomic awareness. That's called breaking the fourth wall or being fourth wall aware. The other thing with that is when I said fifth wall, that's essentially because I made a character in the comic that was supposed to be the creator of the comic, which would be on the other side of the wall typically. And then there's also a me, like real life me, which is beyond the other wall. So it's like an inserted fourth wall and another fifth wall. Categorically, you know, every time you step back to all the, like, it was really complicated the crossover was, and I'm sorry.
Yes.
But I'll see if I can get Adam back on the show. We have yet to talk about Adam and Mike. We're going to be going over a list of things, unless we've already been kind of weaving that in. We can't get a hold of Adam for some reason. But Mike, was there a sort of like list of things that you guys are going to go over, or was it already being woven in?
We're kind of weaving some of it in. that's the part of the problem. Adam has more of the actual list, so yeah, hopefully he can connect back in, but we got to see exactly what that list is at this point.
Okay.
I have a, but I mean, just kind of going with, you're going with the fourth wall breaking and such, I have kind of the similar dynamic in my comic. Mm-hmm. Except that it's kind of strange. I have Mike the Game Master, who is the Game Master of the role-playing campaign.
Yeah.
And he's like an author character, except they don't know that they're in a webcomic.
Right.
They know they're in a role-playing campaign, but they don't know that they're in a webcomic. So we've broken the fourth wall, except we've added another of layer walls outside of that.
That might be the fifth wall. Then, and then sixth would be real you, if you go that far.
Yeah, see, it you keep layers upon layers. The only
like onions.
That I have, yes, like an onion. I did make
what about
one
Paul
shot.
Faze? Everybody likes Paul Faze. Once. Sorry,
that's okay. I did make a one shot filler once that it wasn't canon, but it was kind of a asking of someone actually asked me once in an email. Is Mike an author character? Do you violate that kind of a rule? It's like, no, I'm not an author character. He is the GM of the game, and yeah, he's actually outside of it. But then I had in that one off an appearance of the Onyx Sparrow just to yell at Mike for, you know, stepping out of line. So the only character that I have that kind of is meta wall, he doesn't really exist in any continuity in that direction, is the Kitten of Chaos. The Kitten of Chaos is in my comic deliberately to be able to cross any barrier if necessary at any time. He's kind of like my trump card. He unstoppably being able to do anything in that direction.
Kind of like Life and Death's Chaos character, where basically there are rules, he does not adhere to any rule. For those who read that, know what I'm talking about. Chaos has made an appearance in my PSI comic and the Ginny Everywhere comic I did too. So,
yeah, it's that same kind of thing. I've always thought that when building a world, this is probably getting right into the topic actually. I've always felt that whenever you're building a world, mm-hmm. you need to have a chaos character. You have to have a character that can and will be established to be able to break the rules. They can at any point just go, we need this happen and we have no idea how to make that happen. Send in the kitten. I mean, that's it's an emergency button.
Oh, yes. Yeah, Adam, we can hear you.
Yeah, but Adam, yes.
I have no idea what's going on. But
it's your connection, I'm sure.
I've been listening.
All right, cool. Yes.
Good times.
Well, I never, but
it's, I think it's, and I think most comics do have something like that if you think about it the right way. I like, if you go into Autumn Lake, Mark, I think that Dennis is your kitten.
Chaos of Kitten? Or the Kitten of Chaos?
Yes, I think Dennis is your chaos character. I think that Dennis is the guy that when you have nothing else to go with, if you just need something to go, he can invent something and make it happen.
Always works.
Well,
the invention doesn't, but
yeah, I know,
makes for a good story, I think.
But I mean, that's the concept, though. You have to have someone in your comic that can go, I've hit a wall and I've painted myself into a corner. I need to get out of it somehow.
Yeah.
Break out the emergency chaos
character. There's another word or phrase for that. I'm sure someone can find it on TV Tropes.
Well, there's not the Deus Ex Machina.
Tell you that.
Deus Ex Machina.
Yeah.
Yes. Deus Ex Machina is always available. But that's usually so.
Adam dropped again.
What the?
Adam again? Oh.
Well, I'm sorry.
Oh, geez.
Well, it's about time for a break anyway. We only got, I get 5 minutes left on this reel. So I am going to stop that and start the third segment. Cover some news first, and then we'll go into talking more, hopefully more, of stuff when we come back.
Have news, questions, comments, or advertising inquiries? Transmit them to webcomicbeacon at gmail.com or dial 1-320-310-0922.
I hear TweetDeck.
I have TweetDeck.
Yeah, I'm hearing a little notification.
Oh.
I turned that off because I would follow 400 people. I'd get that constantly. I was like, gah!
Do you know how annoying it must be? Everybody thinks it would be super cool, right? To live on Picard's Enterprise or on Voyager or something like that or whatever. But you know how annoying that would be to hear all those beeps and trills all day? No, not even the alarms. Just
it's not an it's a klaxon.
Not yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Well. I don't know if it'd be annoying. You'd get used to it. I mean, you hear little ticks and thumps and beeps all the time today with, you know, smoke detectors and things turning on and off.
Your
and
computer.
You'd get used to it,
I'm just talking about the background stuff. The you know you tap a panel, it goes beep.
Yeah.
Well, all that they're grown into that. They're used to that. That's.
Oh, they must be.
That's the sound that it's supposed to make. I mean, that's like hitting your keyboard and getting pissed off that it clicks.
I guess that's true.
You get used to everything once after a while.
But,
okay. Can you hear me now?
Hello.
I can hear you now.
Well, hi.
Okay.
We're actually going to...
no idea what's...
Did we lose him again?
No.
Again?
No, I'm here.
Okay.
Oh, okay.
I do have some news. There's no milestones or anything that I have seen, but I do have... Hey, you remember that holiday cooking project that we used to have?
Yeah. Oh, I have a milestone, by the way.
Hold on, let me just do this one first.
Out of the way? I don't know.
No, let me just go ahead.
Okay, go ahead.
And we had two contributors. I forget who the second one was, but the first one was from The Best Effect. I'm mentioning that to make sure that you know they get mentioned and I find the URL and put the link up. They did a comic for cooking, and it's great and all, and then nothing ever happened with it. It sounds like somebody actually has some time to devote to a webcomic cookbook of sorts or something. It's called Webcomics What's Cooking, and it's you go to tgtmedia.com. It's by the that guy that talks from TGT Webcomics podcast. He's putting together something, and the Kickstarter is supposed to be coming up too. And so I will divert anybody who was remotely interested in my idea that obviously fell through to go
your
check
idea.
This out. Yeah, well,
it was my idea.
Our idea.
Damn, you're steal from Adam, now me.
Nah. But you got a cooking show coming up anyway. But so I just want to divert everybody's attention to this who's interested in doing this and somebody actually has time to do it because I don't. So, and hopefully this can work. There's no animosity here. It's fine. It's not like it's a big deal. Anybody who is submitted to us, feel free to take it on over there and check out the details. over there, there's a couple of things I could probably post. You did send me a press release kit, but I didn't open it yet because it's a PDF. So go ahead and check that out. And there's dimensions and stuff because they're going to be looking to print it. So go ahead and check that out. It'll be cool. Mark, you have a milestone?
Oh, yes. Yes, I do. It is. Let me see where I put it here. It is Scientific Madness at madsciencecomic.com. They've reached 200 comics.
Hooray! Woo-hoo!
Pretty cool. Yeah. So there.
It's awesome. Well, already, I think that is basically it as far as news this week. It's been a pretty crazy couple of months for me anyway.
I have a small update that might be showing up tomorrow.
Okay.
But that's okay.
Okay.
Oh, don't forget the Blambot's having a sale on fonts.
Right. Blambot, if you go to blambot.com, BLAMBOT.com, there is a 10% off all pay fonts. I don't know how long it's going to be, but right now it's 8XN1U275. I don't know how often it changes, but it's there. Check it out. Also, find something other than Comic Sans to put on your comic. And while you're there, they do have a lot of free fonts as well. So there you go. Before we move on to more stuff, Well, then say so.
Self-advertising? That's wrong.
No, we're talking about milestones. All right, if you got 1,000,
I'll say it. I'll say it. Prepare to Die hits like 1,000 comics tomorrow, the next time he updates. When are you updating?
Tomorrow.
See, this would have been so much better if you had said it.
Yeah,
I know.
It was like,
tomorrow,
yeah,
he updates tomorrow.
You're on the show. Self promotion is a little bit implied, especially when it's context sensitive to what we're talking about. But
yeah.
Before we get too far off topic again, I do want to bring it home because who knows how long Adam is going to be here before his call drops again. There's some more bullet points essentially that you wanted to talk about with building a universe, right?
Well, I wanted to go into the difference between and retconning and get everybody's takes on that
because that's a
big. Rebooting and retconning.
Okay.
Yes.
For those not in the know, a lot of comics, if they start getting a really complicated story, will do a reboot where they'll basically just kill it entirely and then bring it back with a oversimplified version of the comic, which has cut out a lot of the unnecessary poorly thought out, poorly executed, yeah, or otherwise just impossible to follow up on stories, and kind of like slims it down to the basic essentials so that they can go forward from that.
Yeah,
the counterpoint to that would be the retcon, which is short for retroactive continuity, which is where you basically make it up forward as you go along, trying to eat as much of the backstory up into it as you go. You know, like if you have a plot point where, you know, like someone was shot and you never found out who shot it, and then you introduce a new villain like 6 months later and you say, "Ha, I'm the one that shot him," even if he technically wasn't originally the one that shot him, but you're never actually going to introduce the original character, and it makes it a much neater, tidier package if you can kind of wrap up some of these loose threads by adjusting your own history ever so slightly, tweaking the story as you go.
With webcomics, there's also the ability to actually do a retcon or you know, I'll give a hint. I've given an example of anyone who's watched Doctor Who series, I think, 4 or 3. What, the one with the 10th Doctor. They established that the Master has this drumming in his head. As far as I recall, that never, ever happened before. So it was a retcon that he had that kinda sort of drumming in his head? Or there's been a couple of other things, particularly in Doctor Who canon, like from the old times, like the 60s through the 80s, to early 80s, where now some of it has been retconned, or just for simplicity's sake.
Like the Daleks are badass now, but before they were just kind of scary, but now they're like really ruthless.
Yeah.
Well, if you want to see it Cybermen between seasons, too. Even look at the difference between the Weeping Angels in Blink and the Weeping Angels in the 11th Doctor season. They went from being nuisances to being like a plague that could wipe out the entire universe if they weren't stopped right then and there.
Well, there was a reason for that, though. They explained that.
I like Blink better. They kill you nice.
Yeah.
Yeah, but they gave a reason why they killed them differently, because they were trying to communicate.
Klingon foreheads. Yes, tree lobsters.
We don't like to talk about.
We don't like to with outsiders. Let's see here.
Heck, just how about the fact that Luke nearly slept with Leia in the book that they made between Star Wars and the second movie, because they hadn't nailed down the fact that they were brother and sister yet. I mean,
yes. Splinters of the Mind's Eye.
I read that. It's
technically still in Star Wars continuity, despite the fact that Luke and Leia are rolling around naked in the mud and nearly get it on. And
our midichlorians.
Yeah, that would have been an entirely different conversation. Like, you have a sister, be like, I do. Oh, God.
Well, this is awkward.
Yeah, we don't talk about that anymore. We could not tell Mom, oh, wait.
Oh, no. Alone time is useless now.
I'm actually facing dealing with, I want to do a sort of reboot. I want to do a soft reboot of PSI. What will probably eventually be about 450 comics. I want to try to condense into 50.
Because you need another project.
Well, I know. See, the thing is like, I have all these crossovers and all these things. I want to cut the fat totally and be able to say, and print something up, actually, because most of my archive, at least 300, are unprintable. I don't have original files, or the wrong size, or different sizes. So I do want to have something of mine that I can print up and say, it's mine. You know, this is basically the story. Something I can say, this is basically what happens. But but you could say the extended universe is still online. You know, I don't want to like totally wipe everything like Galaxian did 2-3 times and completely restarted that many times. But because I still respect it.
Yeah, because I think if you do it too often, you can lose. You'll seriously start losing readers.
Oh,
because
she did.
You gotta when people get invested in a story, and then you know they find out just to look at cultural impact. Think about the big twist with Dallas. Who shot JR? That entire season arc. People who've never even seen Dallas know about the who shot JR waking up in the shower. It was all just a dream thing.
Bobby in the shower. That was the other one. That was later.
Yeah,
Bobby in the shower.
That was the end of it. That was because Bobby was, I think, dead in the alternate timeline that they
dream.
Wrote themselves into a corner. Yeah, it was all just a dream, and that had such a major impact on everybody who's invested in the show that it's become like part of the lexicon now as to you know, like writing yourself out of a corner by making it all just a fantasy, a dream. It was all happening in the holodeck. None of it was real.
St. Elmo's fire. That's St. Elmo's fire.
You can.
Yes.
Oh God, St. Elsewhere can kiss my ass.
Elsewhere,
I haven't even seen it, but the whole ending of what people told me just would piss me off.
You get your alternate Lionels. I mean,
whatever.
They keep switching Lionels on us. I mean, come on.
What Lionel? Lionel Richie?
No, on Jeffersons they had Lionel and it was great. Then they switched to another Lionel, and then. And then after a while, they went back to the first Lionel. It was very
wasn't that Bewitched?
Anyway, webcomics.
No, that was Jefferson's. All right, different line.
Yeah, this is the point where we get to.
Which was the different Darren?
Different Darren. Yeah, that was
good. Golly.
And what's the deal with the different Ganondorf? No, it wasn't Ganondorf.
Different Aunt Bibbs. Oh, terrible. Rudy disappeared.
Dumbledore, yeah, the different Dumbledore. What the hell was that all about?
Well, the guy first died.
I know. Okay, so webcomics. What else is on that list?
List. Yeah.
Bullet points. You're all making this up. You're all planning with Mike on Twitter and everything.
We never quite finished the bullet points because we broke down to arguing about whether you should have like Z's and X's in your name or. Because I mistakenly called you Fess with two S's, and then it just sort of went out of hand from there.
That's kind of how it works.
Aw, Fezziwig.
So.
Right. Well, I always thought one of the things that is important about when you're talking about building your world to begin with is to figure out how you're going to start building it. You have to figure out what kind of a comic you're making. And I've always worked the direction of the basis of your world is going to either be character-centric, so it's like you created your character and then you're going to create the world based on that character.
Mm-hmm.
So they are the center of everything and they are the basis of how everything works. The other side of it is to create your world and then you put your character into that world. So it depends on what kind of story plot you're making. Do you want to make a comic that is all about your character and everything is affected by them and the world revolves around them? Or do you want to have a fully functioning world and you have to figure out then, okay, this is what this world is like without them in it. Mm-hmm. And you get that concept down. And then you put them into it and you say, okay, how did they change it by being here?
Yeah.
And that can dramatically change how your world is created and how it functions.
Another thing relating to that is also the more different from this world you make a world, the more you have to figure out how you're going to reveal this to the readers. The best examples I've ever seen, and they kind of ruined it for everybody else by doing it as well as they did, was Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, with the randomly popping up guide entries.
Oh, I love that.
Revealing little chunks of the world, never showing you a whole piece, never trying to explain, not necessarily even relevant information when they popped it up.
Are you talking about from the movie? Because that's the only thing I have reference to.
No, it was the TV show. The books did it too. Yeah. Like every two chapters, there was a mini chapter guide entry sort of thing. But
it's clever because it fleshes out the world without bogging it down.
Or being too heavy handed. A lot of times, if you're reading a comic, there's a lot of times they'll do a audience recognition character. You know, we've got this team of people who know what they're doing. And then they've got the new guy who has no idea what he's doing. And he's following them around learning about it. And as he's learning about it, the audience is learning about it. And it can be handled well, but it can also be handled very obviously.
Yeah.
It's the Jubilee character. It's the one that shows up and has to be saved.
it's the McCoy character, I think, in real Star Trek, where DeForest Kelly always said he felt his character represented the audience because he wasn't like a scientist. He was the doctor. But why can't we just do this, Captain? Why don't we do that? Someone would answer the question and then the audience would figure it out. But I think one of the I hate to say it because it's a comic I like and I read is Flipside. It's a comic that just gets so bogged down in exposition about how the world works.
It does a little bit, yes.
Ugh.
I've read Flipside for a long time myself, and yeah, it is a very large, complex, developed world. I mean, I'm very impressed by the world it is, but yeah, they feel the need to explain all the little bits and pieces at times. It's like, okay, let's just move on. This doesn't matter. It's magic. I get it.
It's magic. I don't have to explain it.
With Inception. When I was watching Inception, it's like, oh God, more exposition about how it works. All right, already. I get it. Just move on. Which I really like, but still.
Balance that against Errant Story, for example. It's been running since 2002, and only now in the last like few months has Poe, more or less at gunpoint by the fans, been forced to start giving info dumps because he's created this huge world and he's got all these like little throwaway references to stuff he knows about, but he's such a tight-lipped author. As far as like he's got the full mysterious author going on to the point where the forums are usually less now that he's getting to the end of the story, but the forums were always a haven for wild rampant guessing by the family to the point there is a meme amongst the Errant Story readers which is just Ian did it, because way back at the beginning of the comic, without anybody raising their hands or doing anything to obviously cast a magical spell, a lightning bolt hits the annoying talking cat. And it became fanon that Ian was there as well, like off to the side, and he cast the spell. And because he was behind them and then wound up in front of them, and I don't even remember exactly how it came about that the fans decided Ian had done this. But then beyond that point, anything mysterious that happened in the comic, they started blaming on Ian. Anything that they couldn't explain that Poe didn't bother to go back and explain, it became Ian did it. And it sort of became this like mantra for, you know, all of the stuff that happened outside of the orbit of the fans' knowledge. So, you know, you got to walk a line between boring your fans with just rattling on like we've been doing for the last hour and change and not telling them anything. Because both will, I think, hurt you eventually.
Yeah. Well, that's part of good storytelling as well. You want to give people enough information to intrigue them and ask them the question, but you don't want to bog them down with too much to think about at the same time.
I will say that I've seen it, and I'm guilty of this too. Q&A sessions, Amber of DMFA has occasionally answered a fan letter in comic form to explain something that might have been a little bit obscure. I've taken that idea a couple of times and I've expanded it into whatever they ask. I'll answer it as long as it doesn't give anything majorly away. If it helps better explain something, that's fine. If I can make a joke out of it, better. But you know that but that's in a different way. Now, it's not really an info dump as much as it's kind of like side comics and having fun. An info dump can, what's it, Dredson Kodak had like, it's like, you say like an update and it's just a wall of text. It's like, I don't want to read this. I don't care anymore. Yeah.
There's a great anime called Key the Metal Idol, which is awesome until the last chapter. Because it just, for like 40 minutes, blah, 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 blah. This is an anime. There's supposed to be motion and movement and stuff. And blah, 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 blah. Get on with it. Get on with it.
Get on with it. Yes! Get on with it!
I don't know what anime you watch, but tons of anime is just characters standing completely still and moving their mouth as the camera pans slowly in front of them.
Well, how about the third Matrix movie then?
Oh,
with
God.
Neo talking to the architect.
Was that the second one or the third one? That was the end of the second one, wasn't it?
The second one or the third one where he's, I'm going to talk like this and it's going to be a lot of information delivered as fast as
possible. I had to watch the movie twice to figure out what the hell he was saying. Oh, it was blah, 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 and that monotone blah, 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 blah.
Get on with it!
Anyway, we have a call-in.
Do we?
Oh, oh good. Okay.
Okay, we have Ben Carver on the line, and you wanted to call in and mention something?
Oh, I wanted to talk about a little bit about world building and also what the architect was talking about. He was very quickly giving the 11 secret herbs and spices.
It must have been his. Ugh.
Okay.
Blah, blah, blah.
Well, because we're running out of the end of the show, and I didn't promise to have call-ins, but because we're already kind of pressed for time. But go ahead, right. Ben, oh. Give your pieces.
Okay, well, you know, the biggest thing I think is important about world building is you know, you do a lot more showing than telling, and the parts with the exposition and the question and answer sessions, that's shooting yourself in the foot. It's a good example of this sort of supplementary information used as a vital part of storytelling. Where it fails is actually very recently Marvel is releasing a new Avengers cartoon, and people who have watched the premiere at the last Comic-Con have said that even people who are huge Marvel fans are utterly confused by how much they're throwing at the viewers. And Marvel's solution to this is releasing short webisodes that explain some of these characters and stuff like that, and that is another failure.
They shouldn't have to do that.
It depends on how they do it, I suppose. I can't say for sure.
I mean, you're basically telling the viewers they need crib notes to figure out what's going on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's good if you want to do extras and spinoffs and people want more information about a specific character at some point. But, yeah, the story should be able to stand on its own. You should be able to understand what's going on. The important bits, anyway, just by what you're actually seeing in the main canon.
Yeah, and like I said, I've talked to people who are huge Marvel fans that watched this premiere at Comic-Con, and they were confused. All right. They were confused. They were like, wait, who was that again? And I'm talking about people that read Marvel like for 20 years that were confused by this premiere.
It should be a mystery that readers want to unfold, not a code that they have to have a crib sheet in order to decipher.
Yeah.
Unless you happen to be writing a mystery comic, then go for it.
Yeah.
That's different. That's okay. Different. But then again, a mystery comic wouldn't have little extras hiding around just for you to find. Well, actually, it might. I take that back.
So anyway, so you have your red herrings here, but what else do you have to share? Since
all right, well, I'm actually one of those few people that wrote a series Bible, a 90-page series Bible for my Comic Hero Academy.
Jeez.
What?
Okay, go ahead.
It's a very detailed series Bible that gives history of the world, history of characters, species, how magic works, different nations, stuff like that. It's pretty definitive, and the first thing I did when I got artists was I had them read it. And because my school takes place in basically what's a university where people learn how to become adventurers, I can do a lot of exposition by having them in class, you know, listening to lectures, and that's pretty much, you know, the students learn about a little bit about the world, and so do the readers.
Mm-hmm. Oh, this is for, you didn't mention the comic.
Hero Academy.
Yeah, that's what it is.
Yes. Yeah, you have to have some method of being able to get information out there, but yeah, has to be a way to disguise it from it not actually just being exposition of, I'm explaining this because you have to know this.
I don't know if you've ever seen the anime Nadeshiko. They actually did that.
Yes.
Yes, they actually
There's always
had.
The old B-movie tradition of you turn on the radio and they have the oddly specific radio announcement of exactly what you were just talking about.
Yes.
I don't find too much of a problem with that. It's not so much. It depends on context, delivery, and also the how the show or the media is that you're working with already. It could be very well appropriate, and it could be expected, kind of like how you know, sitcoms work or like Futurama or The Simpsons.
I mean, like, I could get away with
Futurama,
it because
Futurama,
my comic is funny.
Futurama, Fry's from the past, so that works a little bit better.
Well, no, it'd be like a news thing on TV or something like that. But aside from the point, we're actually going farther away from universe building and going into storytelling.
With the universe building, one of the things was I had very specific rules on how magic worked.
Mm-hmm.
And it was actually interesting because I actually had a guy read some scripts ahead, and he was puzzled by how I described how a magic spell worked to create a whirlwind. And I said to him, I think magic with science is better than magic just because.
Yes.
Because I explained that the spell to create a world one is by creating hot and cold air pressures and stuff. And
midichlorians.
Yes. You have to get your chakras to rotate, and then you get to convert them into the wind element.
Think really, really hard.
What the hell are you talking about?
And then you can cast Rasengan.
Chakras are 8 points in the human body that you use to reach peace and
bend air.
Calmness.
Not if you watch Naruto, they aren't.
I'm a ninja! Ninja, ninja, ninja! Believe it.
Well, Naruto has the suckiest world building I've ever seen. They have satellite communication, but they use messenger birds. How the fuck does that work? Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah. They also have televisions in their houses, but they're never on.
They have gunpowder, but no guns.
Yes. Yes, indeed.
Well, they can have it. Anyway, we're really pressed for time and didn't expect this show to go that this long on this. Is there any other key points that we need to bring up? Otherwise, we're probably going to have a storytelling for another episode at some point, which would be a good addition to this show.
The one thing to remember is, like I said, you have to have someone that's looking at your series Bible and continually asking you, okay, why? Or else you'll be like the guy who, what's his name, Kishimoto, the guy who wrote Naruto, and you'll have satellite communications and messenger birds.
But there's nothing wrong with that. As long as it's consistent with the world you're creating, it's all good.
It's all about you consistency, and if the audience buys it.
Well, I didn't, so there.
Well, you're not part of the audience.
Harry Potter did well with that because they have a muggle world that has electronics and stuff, and then, you know, the wizards, they use owls and things to deliver messages, but well, it does sound like they're
talking
about
messages that magically animate and talk and scream at you.
They also explain something as a throwaway reference that like magic causes electricity not to work properly, or it blows up electronics, which is why they don't use electronics. They do everything the old-fashioned way.
Anyway. Yeah,
and they're British and it's tradition, so shut up.
And it works.
There you go.
So stuffing lamb meat in a wee stomach and boiling it.
All right. Sounds good.
Well, I would say the biggest rule the biggest piece of advice I would give anyone anyway is it doesn't matter how awesome your universe is if your characters suck. So work on your characters first and then put them in your little universe. Trust me.
So, well, again, that's one of those arguments of how you're building your world. Do you want to create your characters and then build a world for them, or do you want to create a world and then put your characters into it? It depends on the focus you're putting into your comic.
Still, the
and your focus should be on characters, really, shouldn't it?
No, well, I'll bring some unity to this. If your focus is the universe, that's no excuse for having sucky-ass characters.
No, not at all.
There we go.
Not at all.
Yeah. So that is all we have for the Webcomic Beacon this week, episode 135. I do want to say that that this week the Webcomic Beacon is brought to you in part by the Rampage Network, specifically Hardgraft at hard-graft.net. Go ahead and check that out. That is all for this week of the Webcomic Beacon, and I've been Fess of Fessworks.com.
And this is Mark of AutumnLake.com.
I'm Adam of TheAppleOfDiscord.com, and also just a quick shout-out to my new comic. It's DrunkDuck.com/Apple_Valley. I'm going to get it a real .com one of these days, okay. I promise.
Because I'll yell at you.
Yes. And this is Mike of OnyxSparrow.com and, of course, WagonWebComicBattle.com.
This is Ben Carver of HeroAcademyComic.com and MajesticKnightComic.com.
All right. Well, thanks to everyone who showed up into the live chat at WebcomicBeacon.com/live. And, we got some more episodes that are going to be coming up this fall. And hopefully we can get onto a storytelling one a little bit later and a coloring one. And hope to get some other special guests. I just have to contact them and get them to come on the show somehow.
That's all for now. Tune in next time at webcomicbeacon.com.
Wasn't Chaka that little ape dude in Land of the Lost?
Chaka!
Oh, no. Wait. I know. Chaka was the one that sang the song, Chaka Khan, talk to me, Chaka Khan.
Chaka Khan.
Right? Was it? Chaka.
Chaka Khan.
No, never mind. I don't know.